Thank you, Lord. Well, praise God. I got something I want to share with you tonight. It's not what I thought I was going to share with you, because it just got changed a minute ago while I was in the prayer line, but I'm going to go for it. So get your Bibles out. Woo! And if you would, go to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I know it's not going to do any good to ask if anybody brought your homework to church tonight, because I know you didn't do it. Did you? Can I see it? Let me see it. I want to see your homework. I've got two people out of this group, Lord, these people that you gave me. And I have two. Two. Look at this. Oh, look at this. Where's Ann? She wrote it all in the same color. I've had so much fun with that, I just want you to know, Ann, I really enjoy that. It's not often you can give an old school teacher a hard time. Way to go, Corey. Corey, I'm impressed. Way to go. Now, I got to ask you this. Did you... Okay, now, did you just do this from Wednesday night? I mean, you know, like when I preach, and you just wrote this down from Wednesday night, or is this something you just had going anyway? No, I didn't. You're amazing, Lord. Give her a big blessing there. I'm bragging on Corey because I'm trying to make all of y'all jealous, so you'll do your homework.
Amen.
No, yeah, I am really, but what? You're not being manipulated like that? So you did do one. But you sheepishly haven't raised your hand and said you did do one. Okay. All right, well, now I got three. I counted yours. One, two. Oh, and that's four. Excuse me. I'm sorry. There's four. And they're women, all women. God bless the women. I mean, I have no men that's brought anything to me. Okay. This is the simplicity. Okay. This is the simplicity of what I'm talking about. Okay. If you're going to be a participant in the army of God, not a spectator in the army of God, the only thing that you really have in life to use is the word. There's nothing else that's going to work. Listen to me. You can... And I don't mean to sound cold and callous, but you can hug everybody's neck, you can kiss everybody on the cheek, and you can tell everybody you're sorry, you can bake cookies for everybody, you can, you know, hold their hand, and that is a part of ministry, that's a part of just caring, okay? But if you want to help somebody and you want to get somebody's life turned around, what you have in you, the Word of God that you know that is real, is what you share with somebody that will then change somebody's life. Okay, that is what is the most effective weapon that you have on the inside of you, is what you know, the word you know. And so she's just simply, you know, there's, you know, she's written down the scriptures and she's just got them here. You know, they're not any great category or order. She just wrote them down here. You know what? God says for all your needs according to Philippians 4:19. So there's Philippians 4:19, because Corey, have you ever seen God supply your needs? Okay, so that's why that scripture is real to you. So then if somebody comes to you and says, you know, God never did anything for me, you can say, well, I'm sorry, you know, maybe you're not doing things right, because Philippians 4:19 says, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and he supplied my needs, and I know that's true. That's what the Bible says. Well, why doesn't it work for me? Well, you know, maybe do you know, the Bible says God gives seed to the sower. Did you eat your seed or did you sow your seed? You follow what I'm saying? That's what you. That's the only thing that's going to bring life to somebody. I'm sorry. Like I said, a smile, a handshake, a $20 bill, a $100 bill will put a smile on their face, but it will be gone. What's going to change somebody's life is what you know. And y'all know so much. I told you, if you knew one scripture, if you just knew by heart John 3:16, you just knew that John 3:16 was stuck in your head and you knew that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know more Bible than 4.2 billion people. Hello? More Bible. You know more scripture than 4.2. So if God's looking for his army to rise up and God's looking for his army to go out and to do something, well, he's got to get y'all awake to realize that the word of God's in you. What you've seen God do for you is what is going to affect somebody else. Okay? That's your weapon. That's your equipping. And so when you take it and you write it down, then you have it. Now, you know, that's what, thank you. That's what the Praying the Word book, that's what, you know, all these things that I try to produce and put out there for you is to put weapons in your hands. But you got to learn how to use it. You know, how many of you guys, growing up as a young man, you bought and then tried to learn how to either throw a tomahawk or a throwing knife? Can I see y'all raise your hand? Huh? Almost, and a boomerang. Add a boomerang in there that you have tried those things at some time. I remember I watched Fess Parker on Daniel Boone throwing that tomahawk. And I remember I wanted a tomahawk so bad. And I got one. And it was a throwing tomahawk. And I broke the handle the very first day. You know, because I didn't get anybody to teach me. I didn't get anybody to equip me. I backed off and hauled off and threw that thing in an oak tree as hard as I could. You know, and you know what happened? It didn't spin right. It broke the handle off. And I was just like, oh, you know. And then I went to throwing knives. And I threw knives till I lost the knives. Finally, couldn't even, you know, just they skidded off the tree and went out somewhere. Could never find the thing, you know. And so all I'm saying is that I was given equipment, but I didn't know how to use the equipment. And the problem is there's Christians sitting in churches everywhere that have heard the word. The word's come to them. They've heard it. It's gone over. Preachers have preached about it. It's gone out there. But they didn't take the weapons, and then they didn't use the weapons. They never learned the skill of the weapon. They didn't learn what they were doing. They had a bag full of word, but they didn't understand what to do with it. And so therefore, when they go through life, they don't have anything to give anybody. They're not using the right weapons. And the church, the Christian world, I'm talking, when I say the church, I'm not talking about us, I'm talking about the Christian world, is full of word, but they've never used it, they've never developed, they don't have any skill in what we're doing. And so that's why I'm trying to tell y'all, as the army of God around here, we got to get skilled in the word. You got to get skilled. You already know what it's in you. But you got to bring it out to where it's usable. So that's why I said the assignment was write it down. Go search your heart and say, well, what do you know is the truth from God's word? What's really in you that you know is the truth? And then write it down. And as you write it down, just put a reference with it, then just keep that handy, because then you're going to need it. Now, remember I told you that what activates the army of God's three things. It's need. When you run across need, you're activated. Faith, when you find somebody that's willing to believe what the word of God says is true. Faith activates the word, activates the army of God, okay? And then the third thing was this compassion, what you have compassion for, all right? If you don't have compassion in certain areas for certain things, it doesn't mean you're a bad person, because you just have to find out, well, what is the area of your life that you have a lot of compassion for? If you have compassion for teenagers, or compassion for foreign countries, or compassion for your just neighbors, or whatever, wherever your compassion is, that's what's going to stir you, and that's what you need to be active in. And don't be trying to do everything, because you're not called to do everything. Okay? You're not called to do everything. I'm not called to do everything. I'm not called to pastor somebody else's church. I'm not called to pastor somebody else's sheep. And I'll really watch that. And when I find somebody that's not of this flock that wants me to pastor them, I may throw a little advice, but I'm not going to pastor them because they're not my sheep. You're eating over there in that feed trough, you go over there. If you don't like the feed, well, then quit. Come over here. But if you want to do that, that's fine. Glory to God. I'll take it. But I'm not going to go over there. You can't eat in their feed trough, mine at the same time. Just tell it like it is tonight. Okay? So Ephesians chapter 4 says something here. Verse 1. The Apostle Paul speaking. Now, You know, when you read the book of Ephesians, you got to understand Paul's preaching. Now, I trust Paul's preaching. Right? I mean, I trust his, I don't always understand it sometimes, and I have to ask God to give me the understanding of what he's saying, but I trust Paul as a preacher that he knows what he's talking about. Okay? So it says in verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. Now, he wrote this letter to the church at Ephesus. So if Paul was standing here and he was preaching this, he's saying it to y'all. Okay? I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. Each and every one of you have a calling on your life. That doesn't mean you're called into the fivefold ministry. It doesn't mean that but you have a calling. You have a destiny. You have a plan. You're going to get to heaven, and there's going to be your life go before while you're standing there with Jesus at the judgment throne of Christ. And there's going to be places in life that you were destined to be because you had word to speak to somebody. And the only riches that we really should be living for is that. My prayer every day is, God, do not let me miss the divine appointments that you have for me today. Don't let me get caught up in, you know, it's so easy. Man, I'm telling you, it's so easy. You're driving in San Antonio, somebody cuts you off, you're mad at them, and you're so mad at them, you stay mad at them, and then there was somebody you were supposed to minister to, but you're too busy being mad at the guy that was over there in the car that cut you off, and so you missed the whole thing, that whatever was trying to happen. I want y'all to know that since I started praying for people on Wednesday night and Sunday morning, you cannot imagine the herds of demons I've had to fight. And it's almost like I just want to say, you know, Lord, you've got to do something. This is ridiculous, because it's hard for me to stay on focus, because I feel like as I'm walking down the road, I've got a lion leaping at me over here and a leopard leaping at me over there, and they're missing me, and ain't nothing hurting me, but it gets irritating after a while. And then when you get irritated, you know what happens? You start missing things. Don't want to miss things. You got a calling. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith and the bond of peace. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, who's above all things, and through all, in you all. Okay. But to each of us is given grace. But to each one of us, grace is given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Now, how big is Christ's gift? I really don't know why Paul said it this way. The measure of Christ's gift. How big is the measure of Christ's gift? It's immeasurable. If the gift, how big is the measure? How big is Christ's gift? Just think of it. How big is salvation to the world? I mean, it's huge. So it's not like, well, you've only got a measure. When I say a measure, it makes me think of cups and quarter cups and half cups. And have y'all ever noticed that you can go through every one of the cups in the drawer trying to find the right one, and it's always the last one you pick up? Why is that? Why is that? If you just want a half cup or a quarter cup, you can't ever find it. You find every other one, and then you finally find it. It's always like that. I don't know. I don't understand. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is, but to each one of us is given, grace was given according to the measure of Christ. So that means you have an abundance of grace. You, no matter how much you mess it up, God's got more grace there to keep you on track so that you'll fulfill the calling of God on your life. That's what he's trying to say. You got more grace than you can waste. That should be like I should write that up as a bumper sticker or something. You got more grace than you can waste. That just flew out. Now somebody write it down, because I'll forget it here in just a minute, and then I wonder what it was. Okay? You got the more measure. Okay, then he says, therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now, I just happened to look at that in the Message Bible. And I love what it said here. Because if you've ever read the Message Bible, it tries to put it in real plain, simple English. And it says, He climbed the high mountain. He captured the enemy. He seized the booty and handed it all out in gifts to the people. I mean, I don't even know if that is a good translation, but I like it, man. I like it. He climbed a high mountain. He captured the enemy. He seized the booty and he handed it out in gifts to the people. So in other words, he took back everything that the devil had stolen from humanity. Y'all with me? And he turned around and he gave it back and spread it out and gave it to everybody. He ascended on high, he led captivity captive, he gave gifts to men. He gave gifts to men. Gifts. I like gifts. Do y'all like gifts? I like gifts. Gifts are nice. Gifts make me happy. All right? He says, it's just funny to me that he used those terminologies. He didn't say he gave equipment or money, or he didn't denote it as a, you know, he gave jewels. He said gave gifts to men. And so it goes on, it talks about all that. Now just skip down to verse 11. Now he gave some to be apostles, some to prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So what are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? What are they? Gifts. He says he gave gifts to men, and says, read verse 9. Now this he ascended. What does it mean that he first descended to the lower parts of the earth? 10, he descended also the one who ascended from far from above that he might fulfill all things. He gave some to be, he's talking about the gifts. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He said he gave them his, he said, look, Jesus said, I'm going to give you gifts to help everybody out. And this is what I want to give you. And everybody said, what? Oh, I don't understand. I was looking for gold, silver. I was looking for, you know, feelings. I was looking for emotion. I was looking for, what do you mean he gave these gifts? So he goes on. Let me read verse 11 again. He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. For, everybody say for. Why did he give the gifts? He gave them for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He said, if you let me put it this way, Paul is saying that Jesus got hold, defeated the enemy, got the booty, and distributed it out to everybody so that you could fulfill your calling in life, because that's where you're going to be the happiest. That's where you're going to find the most joy. That's where you're going to find the most peace. That's where you're going to find the most love. That's where you're going to find everything you ever dreamed of. Lollipop land is you fulfilling the calling of God on your life. And so he said, I want to get you there because that's the greatest place you can be, is in my will, fulfilling your calling. And so I want to get you there. So I want to give you gifts, which are going to be the fivefold ministry gifts, to help you get out of your craziness and stay on the road to get you in your calling. Is that what he said? Am I just preaching what Paul said here? Am I just regurgitating what he said? The world wants joy, the world wants peace, the world wants happiness, but the problem is always looking for it in the wrong place. And Paul's saying that the place that you're going to find the greatest joy of your life is fulfilling the calling on your life. And when you walk in your calling, that's when you're going to have joy. But a lot of times we can't see what our calling is. A lot of times we don't understand what the calling is. A lot of times we're not walking in it. So therefore, he said, I'm going to give you some ministry gifts, some people to, and I'll just tell it like it's supposed to be. To break the chains off of you, to get the devil out of your life, to get the crazy off of you, to get you back focused on what you're supposed to do, to teach you what the Word of God says so you can keep yourself on track saying, wait a minute, this is what I'm supposed to do in life. So let's say you have a gift to be a teacher. And God has kind of prodded you to teach Sunday school. But you don't really want to because you're embarrassed because, you know, you don't think you're pretty enough to teach Sunday school, or you think you're somebody's going to laugh at you and not smart enough to teach Sunday school. So you don't ever talk to Frankie about maybe teaching a Sunday school. And so you think, oh, how could I do this? I can't put it together. I don't know what to do and all of this. And so you never do it. You know what? You're never going to fulfill your calling in life, and you're never going to find real true joy and peace. Because there's always going to be something nagging on the inside of you that you didn't do right. Now, let me just clarify that so everybody doesn't run over to Frankie tonight and sign up. You know, you could just be crazy. Now listen to me. I'm just talking straight out tonight. You could just be crazy, and you could just have a wounded soul, and you need to be fill that soul and be edified. So therefore, you think if you did something like teaching, and then you're in front of the people, you would be happier because people would look at you and say, oh, wow, they're so smart, and that would make you feel good. No, you're wrong. What you need is for the prophet to read your mail, okay? And then for the pastor and teacher to help you to understand what's wrong with the inside of you and your soul and why you're sick in your soul, to get the anointing of God in your life so you can get healed, so then you can really go do what you're called to do. Am I preaching good? Haven't made you mad and won't leave yet? But look what he says. He says, now, you're supposed to, those gifts are supposed to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that means that the saints are supposed to go out and edify the body of Christ. They're supposed to go out and they're supposed to build up all the body of Christ. The saints are equipped. They're equipped. Now they go out and they're building up the body of Christ. Hello? All right? But look what they're doing here. I keep losing my place. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. See, he wants everybody to get together in faith. Why would he want unity of faith? If one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight, that means if a group of believers really got together and were really believers, that all mountains would just be moved. We're going to come into the unity of the faith and look, and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's the knowledge. It's what I'm saying about the Word. When it's real to you and it's alive to you and you know that it's true, then when you have that on the inside of you, that's power. And he's saying, look, you got to get the body built up so that they can all understand, then walk in the same faith, and they can know Jesus. Because when they know Jesus, then it's all over with. And then come to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. In other words, Jesus wants us to be just like him on earth. He said in John 17, I believe it's John 17, 16 or 17. No, it's 17. He said, Lord, he prayed. He said, Father, the same glory or the same anointing you gave me on earth, give it to them. He said, I want you to be just like Jesus on this earth. He said, I want you to be just like me. But doesn't that make sense? I want my son to be like me. I don't want him, he doesn't have to do everything the way I would do it, but I want him to have the same honesty and integrity and carry on, what our family believes in and raise his son like I raised him and teach him that this is what's right and that's what's wrong. You with me? It's the same way with Jesus. He's not saying we all have to dress like Pastor Robert. He's saying that we all have to be who we are, and in the fullness of Christ, in the knowledge that we are, when we come into that place, then we go out and we start to fulfill our calling. Then all of a sudden, we've got all this equipment that we just shooting out, man. We're getting people saved, touched, healed, blessed, going out there like that. We're build, bringing the body of Christ in. The body of people are getting built up. They're getting strong. They're getting, you know, full. They're coming into a perfect man because they're knowing who Jesus is. And the bottom line is the church. The church, I'm not talking again about this church per se. I'm saying the church is an anemic baby. okay, that is just whining and crying and never developing into the mature place that it should be. And the reason why is because the believers don't want to develop into the mature place they're in. And partially because they don't respect the gifts that God gave them. Why do you think I have Pastor Wynn come in here? Pastor Wynn is different. He is a different cat. I mean, I would say it right to his face. He's just going to hurt his feelings. He knows it. He's a different man. I visit with him, talk to him. It's like, I mean, just forget about the difference that he lives in Wales and he's a Welshman, you know. I mean, just forget about that. But I'm just saying his thinking, the way he looks at the Word, the way he's, you know, preaches and does all this is different because he's a prophet. It's a different gift. There's a real prophetic gift in him. He is a prophet. Brother Ivan is an apostle. There's a difference in him when he's talking. And these men are as different as night and day. Okay, Sister Annie is an apostle. They're different as night and day. They're all different. But it's that gifts. And why do I want them in the church? Because we need those gifts to sharpen us, to strengthen. We need to respect them as gifts. Because they're what can help you get on your call in life. Because when you're on your call, that's where your joy is. That's where your happiness is. That's where your peace is. That's where everything is you fulfilling the calling of God upon your life. And when you're not fulfilling the calling of God, then you're going to wane and you're going to want and you're going to yearn for the wrong things. I have a bad habit and I've broken it, but it's not dead. And the bad habit is if I've had a bad day, I like to eat. I like comfort food. And I have had to break that in my life because I said, look, I'm just wanting here. I need to read my word. I need to pray. I need to get this. I don't have to have comfort food to make me feel comfortable. I need the presence of God here to tell me, what do I need to do, Lord? Because I'm getting misdirected. I'm getting misguided. I'm getting knocked to the left and knocked to the right. And I need to get on track here. And I can feel it and I know it. And you know, I'm kind of irritated, Lord. And I, you know, so I need to find out, where am I supposed to do? Because I don't want to miss you. Are y'all with me? Now, Emmy, you got to go home and tell Johnny this, okay? I can't believe he got my book formatted. I have tried to format books before. Demons from the pit of hell. Every time I moved a page, it went somewhere, and I'm like, where did it go? How is it? Not possible. Where it was just right there, and I just moved this over here, and now where did it throw it? And then I have to go finding all of this page, because if you've ever tried this, it is the most frustrating thing on the face of the earth. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Does anybody, y'all, if you know what I'm talking about, you know? Because you just push this down a little bit, but then that shot this old page over here, so then that corrected this page over here, and it went on, hey, it drives me nuts. I actually, tell him this, I thought it would take, I was expecting 3 weeks. And he did it in like, what, 3 hours? I mean, I don't know how long he worked on it, but I couldn't even believe it. And the time I got it to him, I got it in less than a day. And I'm like, what are you talking about? How could that be? That's got to be a gift. You follow what I'm saying? That has to be a gift because it ain't in me. Are you following what I'm saying? You know what your gift is because that's what you can do. It doesn't do me any good to go. I can't say, that's my gift. Oh, yes. Oh, I can't do it. Could I be trained? Yeah, but I ain't got the patience to do something like that. I've already been down that road. So the point is I'm trying to say is that God gave these men to come into your life, these gifts to come into your life to get you on your calling. And how do you know what your calling is? It's what you're doing that brings peace and joy to you. He said, I was just eating a bag of potato chips, laying on the couch, brings peace and joy to me. You're deceiving yourself. You are deceiving yourself. How many of you know that it's that time when you help somebody and they wrote you a thank you letter and it came back to you and it brought more joy because you found out it was more blessed to give than to receive? right? Or the time that you fixed something for somebody that couldn't get it fixed, and it just, man, it just brought you joy because you got that done for them, and it just, I mean, it was a bit, you know, it's part of your gift. It's when you're walking in your calling that you're going to find the joy, the peace, the happiness, and everything that you desire to do. Hello? And so he gave these gifts. He gave these men. We're going to go into this more, but I've had enough tonight. So I'm going to ask you next week if you did your homework. I'm just begging one man. Just one. To give me something, one scripture on a scrap, I don't care if it's on a sack, one scripture on a sack, a brown paper sack that the donut you ate or something. The comfort food you got, I don't even care about that. We won't bring that up again. Let me hear it.
Barely, really, it says he, this generation will not pass by, so all these things are filled.
There you go. You got that one. So, amen. Well, glory to God. Well, ushers, help me. Let's ush. Glory to God. How about the rain? Was that sweet? Thank you, Jesus. Came along all night long. It has been years since I've laid in bed and heard it thunder, and then I'd go to sleep and wake back up and hear it thunder and lightning again, raining. I mean, that's like amazing. Amazing. Yeah, I heard you're famous. Y'all want autographs? Bill and Frankie are signing autographs in the back of the church. Made it on the news. Yeah. There you go. That's generous. Well, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. Father, I just declare tonight in Jesus' name, I thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. And I just declare, Lord, that you just open up windows of heaven and pour out blessings upon the people which they can't contain. I thank you for giving witty ideas, knowledge of witty inventions, just everything that needs to be, Lord, so that we can just accomplish everything that we are called to do in life. And so, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you for willing hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. What's going on Sunday? God's Girls tomorrow night, 6:30, Fellowship Hall. Be there or be square. I wanna ask y'all, you prayer people, to pray for me. I'm going to be leaving Friday morning. I'm going to be preaching in Bethany this Sunday or this weekend. I'm going to do a men's meeting Friday night, Saturday night, and then preach for the church Sunday morning. So, So be praying for me, if you will, cover me, mainly that I'll get back through the checkpoint with no problems this time. Last time the Border Patrol wanted to arrest me as a drug dealer, but Lord God, I persevered and came through. So anyway, just be praying about that and that we have a great turnout. There's supposed to be a lot of guys down there and everything is, it's a really nasty time to be down there, but it's the only time it worked for them and us because it's hotter than nine kinds of hell down there. But that's okay. We're barbecuing in the backyard and I'm preaching Jesus, so I'm doing my calling. So anyway, stand to your feet. Grab somebody's hand. And Father, I just declare tonight that as we go out in the world, Lord, we're going to have our eyes open to see need, to see faith, and to see compassion or feel compassion, Lord. And I thank you that as we go into this world, each and every one of them are going to find their calling. They're going to grab hold of it. They're going to know what it is. It's going to make sense to them, Lord, what they're doing. And I just declare, Lord, we're going to be able to be equipped to do the work of the ministry. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.